kids, this is for you today, okay? So when you walk out of here, this is like a big children's church. The theme is, I don't want to grow up. I found myself in Toys R Us one day. I was there with a bunch of teenagers. We were buying water guns. We bought $300 worth of water guns. Every kind of water gun you can imagine. In fact, I even got a water gun that was a pair of sunglasses, and it had a hose that went down the back, and it went into a little hand thing that I would squeeze, and it would squirt wherever I was looking. We got the coolest water guns you could find. While I was in Toys R Us, I got a little distracted. I love Toys R Us. We were down in the Mount Clemens Toys R Us. I don't go to the Toys R Us here because I don't want to get kicked out of a place where people might know me. We were in Toys R Us, and as we were walking along looking for water guns, I found a shelf for every boy in America. It was loaded with all kinds of the coolest guns and machine guns and weapons and masks and hats that you could find. And I said, hey, I've got an idea to some of the boys in my youth group. And they said, what? I said, let's play guns. And they said, okay. So we played hide-and-seek in Toys R Us. And I started counting. I said, not it, not it, not it. Well, the guys took off and hid. And we went looking for them. We had on army hats. We had on fireman hats. I had on this police SWAT team hat that had a little mask that was tinted so nobody could see who I was. I got a hold of a shopping cart. One of the kids, my intern, jumped into, and we started going through Toys R Us looking for the kids that were hiding. He found a horn that blew, and it sounded like a European ambulance. Wee, 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 wee. So everyone in Toys R Us knew we were there, and we were looking for the kids. We're coming around corners, and we'd find kids up on shelves behind stuffed animals. As they're shooting us, boom, boom, and we're shooting back, bang, 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 bang. As we're doing this, we had to keep going back and getting new guns and doing stuff and hiding and going back and forth and doing this. I'm back getting a new arsenal of weapons. And this little boy, I'm not kidding, he had to be about 4 years old, came up to me. He tugged on my pants. He said, Mister, can I be on your team? I don't know where his parents were. I said, sure, go hide. Kids started playing. We have a kids ministry here, and I'm not in charge. I'm not going to say your kids are any safer with Mr. Ron or in the junior high with Mr. Jim. Or in the high school with me. But I will say this. I love the Lord and I love life. And we were going through Toys R Us playing guns. And there were kids hiding that I had no idea who they were. And they were playing guns with us. And we had the best of time until we were asked kindly to leave the store and never come back. When you're 25 at the time, when you're 25 years old and you get kicked out of Toys R Us, that's a sad day. But we had a great time. They were smiling and said, you probably shouldn't be doing this in our store. We love it, but you probably shouldn't be doing it. There's got to be a liability issue here. And all I can think of is the song, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. My wife has often said she has six children. It's probably true. I think you're as young as you feel. And Jesus says the word, unless you become like a little child, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Now, does that mean that all of us, after church today, need to drive on over here to Toys R Us? No. Does it mean that we should go climb a tree? Maybe. Should we skip a little bit? Probably. You know, the one thing that you cannot do when you skip is be sad. You try that. I've been telling that to a few people. My brother hit me with that one last year. I called him up one day. I was having a tough day. It was a stressful day. I don't even remember what the situation. He said, go skipping. I said, excuse me? He said, go skip. And I think I was out by the mall. I might even been in the mall. I don't remember. I just remember thinking, I'm going to skip. He said, you can't be unhappy when you skip. And so I started skipping through wherever I was. And as I was skipping, people stopped and just looked at me. A 46-year-old man skipping. And I did what you do when you skip. I started laughing at myself. And I found myself, whatever the problems were, they were gone. Just for that moment. And I found myself being a kid again, thinking, oh, to be young. Oh, to be carefree. Does God want us to skip? Maybe not. Does God want us climbing trees? For some of you, absolutely not. We don't need more crutches in the church. But maybe God is saying, what is a kid like? So study a kid for a minute, and here's a few things. When he's talking to his disciples, and they ask the question, we just want to know one thing. Who is the greatest Christian of all? What makes the best Christians? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says it. He said, come here. Yeah, come on up here. I know this scares you half to death, honey. You're so shy. I'm not going to give her a microphone. We'll be here all day. There's like 1,000 people. Just stay close to me and they won't bite. I study children. What are children like? Well, one, they're scared of grown-ups. What are children like? Well, there's a few things about them if you understand what a child's like. They are awesome. Oh, to be a child again. Are you ready for school to start?
Nope.
Are you ready for the big church to get over so you can go home and enjoy being outside?
I just want to watch TV.
You just want to watch TV. Me too. Thanks. Go ahead and have a seat there. To study a child, what are children like? Children. There's a few things if you look at them. What does Jesus say? Well, we can't be young again. We're not necessarily going to go climb a tree. We're not necessarily going to go watch television or go swimming or ride our bike over a jump and end up with a knee brace. What are children like? Well, here's a few things I thought of real quickly, kids. What you guys are like. And God says, grown-ups, have we forgotten these things? The first one is they have a simple faith. Kids have a very simple faith. You tell a kid something, you know what they do? They go, okay. They're very matter of fact. In fact, it's the difference between what's known as concrete learning and abstract learning. Do you know that children, kids, when your mom and dad tell you something, you believe them? I have to be careful what I say to my kids sometimes because I say things and I get myself in trouble. Because they have such a simple faith. They take you for what you say. They don't think abstractly. One and one is two. Why? Because I said so. Okay. I remember seeing the little girl Holly at the swimming pool. And she came up to me, and I've shared this before, and she was just very matter of fact. She says, Mr. Wife God, how do you keep the 12-foot water from getting in from the 5-foot water? And I said, well, we put 12-foot water in the 12-foot hose in the 12-foot part, and we put the 5-foot water with the 5-foot hose in the 5-foot part, and the two never mix. And she walked away and said, okay, thanks, Mr. Wife God, and she walked away. And she probably believed that for quite some time until she asked the question, why? How come? I want to know. Kids are very concrete. If you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God made the heavens and the earth, kids go, okay, that's good enough for me. Kids are very matter of fact and very concrete. But it's a very simple faith. And you say, oh, it's too simple for me. And Jesus said, you must become like a little child. Some of you have to just start walking into the simplicity of your faith. Jesus said, it's so simple, even a kid can understand it. Sometimes as parents, we complicate this whole thing and we make it a gigantic religion instead of a simple relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we make it this giant process and God says, make it simple. You ever listen to kids when they talk about who God is? I printed out a couple things. I want to know what kids think about God. These are statements taken from a pastor in his church. He wanted to find out, and I'll just read a couple of these, not the whole thing here. The Sunday school teacher in a church was describing how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. When a little boy said, my mommy looked back once while she was driving, and she turned into a telephone pole. Isn't that great? It's a simple, simple faith. A Sunday school teacher was telling her class the story of the Good Samaritan. She described the situation about how the man was beaten, robbed, and left for dead in vivid detail so her students would understand. Then she asked the class, if you saw a person lying on the roadside all wounded and bleeding, what would you do? And a little girl raised her hand. She said, I'd probably throw up. These kids are so innocent. In fact, one little boy, I'll skip, there's so many good ones, wrote down, said, could you write down what you think the Bible says? And here's what one little boy wrote. A child was told to write a book report of the entire Bible. I wonder how often we take for granted that children understand what we are teaching. This is that simple faith. Here's what he wrote. In the beginning, which occurred near the start, there was nothing but God, darkness, and some gas. The Bible says, the Lord thy God is one. But I think he must be a lot older than that. Anyway, God said, give me some light. And someone did. Then God made the world. He split the atom and made Eve. Adam and Eve were naked. But they weren't embarrassed because mirrors hadn't been invented yet. I'm going to give this kid an A. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating one bad apple. So they were driven from the Garden of Eden. Not sure what they were driven in, though, because they didn't have any cars. Adam and Eve had a son, Cain, who hated his brother as long as he was able. Pretty soon all the people died off, except for Methuselah, who lived to be like a million or something. One of the next people, important people, was Noah. He was a good guy, but one of his kids was named Ham. Noah built a large boat and put his family and some animals on it. He asked some other people to join him, but they said they would have to take a rain check. After Noah came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was more famous than his brother Esau because Esau sold Jacob his birthright in exchange for some pot roast. Jacob had a son named Joseph who wore a really loud sports coat. Another important guy in the Bible, his name is Moses, whose real name was Charlton Heston. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and away from the evil Pharaoh after God sent 10 plagues on Pharaoh's people. These plagues included frogs, mice, lice, bowels, and no cable. I know it's a kid. God fed the Israelites every day with manicotti. Then he gave them his top 10 commandments. These included, don't lie, cheat, smoke, dance, or covet your neighbor's stuff. Oh yeah, I just thought of one more. Humor thy father and thy mother. My kids got that one. One of Moses' best helpers was Joshua, who was the first guy in the Bible who had spies. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the fence fell over on the town. After Joshua came David. He got to be a king by killing a giant with a slingshot. He had a son named Solomon who had about 300 wives and 50 porcupines. My teacher says he was wise, but that doesn't sound very smart to me. After Solomon, there was a bunch of major league prophets. One of these was Jonah, who was swallowed by a big whale and then barfed up on the shore. There were also some minor league prophets, but I guess we don't have to worry about them. After the Old Testament came the New Testament, Jesus is the star of the New Testament. He was born in Bethlehem in a barn. I wish I'd been born in a barn too, because my mom's always saying to me, close the door, were you born in a barn? It'd be nice to say, as a matter of fact, I was. During his life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners, like the Pharisees and the Republicans. Jesus had 12 opossums. And the worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil that they named a terrible vegetable after him. Jesus was a great man. He healed many lepers and even preached to some Germans on the Mount. But the Republicans and all those guys put Jesus on trial before Pontius the Pilate. Pilate didn't stick up for Jesus. He just washed his hands instead. Anyways, Jesus died for our sins and came back to life again. He went up to heaven, but he'll be back at the end of the aluminum. His return is foretold in the book of Revelation. And so goes the story that our children have such a simple faith. You know, that kid may not have got every story correct. But kids are so simple that they're willing to accept what adults teach them. And that can be good and that can be bad. But in the good side of it, Jesus said, you have got to become like little children. You have to accept the truth and understand this is true and walk in that truth. And kids will take it. And I tell you, if our Heavenly Father says it, it's true. Accept it, folks. He'll do it for you. Some of us struggle in our faith because we just don't believe it can really happen. It really can happen. It really did. And God tells us it will again. Another thing I know about kids is not only do they have a simple faith, but I love this one. They have an innocence. And if we're going to see the kingdom of heaven, we have to be as innocent as children. People will inevitably ask the question, if a baby dies, if a little child dies, will they go to heaven? And the answer is yes. Is it because they're baptized? No. Wait a minute. Why will they go to heaven? Because there's two things that happen in our heart when we're born. One is original sin. The second is actual sin. We are all born in original sin. The Bible says everyone is a sinner. Every single human being has been born in sin. We have a bent to sin. You don't have to teach a little child, be they 4 or 5 or 3 years old. You don't have to teach them to lie or to do something wrong. They'll figure that out because in our hearts, there's a bent towards sin. It's called original sin. Now, will a child go to hell for original sin? Does it talk about that in the Bible? The age of accountability? No, it doesn't also use the word Trinity. But it talks about the Trinity in the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. There's other words that aren't in the Bible, but it teaches us about those words. One is the innocence of a child. God says you must have the innocence of a child. What does that mean? A child is not guilty of their sins, of the original sin. Now, they have original sin, which is going to... Now, I'm going to say this. This is my personal belief, okay? You say, where's that in Scripture? Well, the Bible says, David, King David says, surely from my mother's womb I was born a sinner, okay? We know from Adam we were born in sin. Now, have we committed a sin? No, a baby doesn't commit a sin. A baby can't repent. It has no understanding or accountability. But the first time that a child commits an actual sin because of the root of that original sin, they are now accountable and need to repent and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to go to heaven. What age is that? Well, whatever age that child has now realized that they've sinned. And that goes into the mentally, I believe it goes into the mentally handicapped who have no idea between right and wrong or what they're doing. But for all of us who commit an act of sin, we need that. Now, does a child have innocence? God says a child has an innocence where most of the time they don't even realize when they do wrong. They don't have that sense of, I think I'm going to do something wrong today. By golly, I'm going to go ahead and do something wrong today. And they go ahead and they act on it. That is the guilt of our sin. Children are so innocent. They are so pure. And Jesus said, you must have that same innocence. It's restored in Christ through the blood of Christ covering us. It's so funny. I tried to illustrate this on Wednesday in our VBS. I took a bunch of the little bugs that we had. I put them in a box and said, Satan has got everybody. He's going to put them in a box because of their sin. You know what Jesus did for us? And they go, died for us? So I grabbed an egg and I crushed an egg over the box so that the egg yolk would get all over the animals. I said, there, that's what Jesus did for us. And these kids are looking. And one little kid's like, he covered us with an egg. And I'm thinking, I probably lost the whole meaning. I said, he covered us in his blood. But how do you tell a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old, Jesus' blood covers us? They're going to go home and say, Mom, Dad, guess what we learned today? That's kind of cannibalistic. It kind of is gross. And so you're trying to explain to them the symbol that Christ covers us. But a child's innocence, how do we get back to that? We've got to think to that innocence of, you know what? I don't want to harm anybody. I don't want to do anything wrong. I just want to make my parents happy. I just want to please my Father in heaven. That's all I want to do. I want to love him with all my heart. What is a kid's innocence? You think about it. Every child just wants to know his mom and dad's going to hold him, going to take him in the arms and say, no matter what, I love you. That's an innocence that a child has trying to please their parent. And I want you to know today that we got to get back to that innocence. There's another innocence in there. I'm sorry, there's another thing. You know, children have that innocence. There was a little girl by the name of Skylar, and she had a little brother that was born. And her little brother that was born, the parents were a little nervous that little Skylar was going to be jealous and not like her little brother. And so they brought her little brother home. And Skylar said, can I go in and see my little brother? I need to go in. I want to go in there by myself, Mom and Dad. And they said, no, you can't do that. And she kept asking and kept asking. Finally, one day, they said, okay, you can go in and look in the room. And they were curious why little Skylar wanted to go into the room and talk to her little brother alone. And they were nervous that she might be angry about the little brother coming in where she was the only child. So finally they thought, okay, we'll just leave the door cracked. And so they left the door cracked. They let her go in. And they watched as she went in, went over to her little brother's crib. And she leaned in and they overheard her say these words to her little brother. Little brother, tell me what Jesus looks like. I'm starting to forget. Now that little girl in her heart, as a little girl growing up, was starting to see the things of life that start changing our perspective about this world that we live in. And she just wanted to know the innocence of God and the purity of God. And I want you to know that every one of us can know that awesome purity of God to say, God, show me what you look like. There are days I'm starting to forget because we live in this world and we just need a reminder. That's why you're here today in church. Today in church is a reminder that God loves you. There's still something good. There's still something pure. There's still something innocent in this world. Look into the face of a baby and you'll see purity and innocence in perfection. A child who's not been tainted by the world. The whole world before him. And everything's perfect and glorious. Innocence. And then the last thing is this. Kids, the one thing I know about kids is not only do they have a simple faith, not only is there an innocence, but you know what's great about kids? You watch your kids. This is one of the number one things that kids have. They have forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? They're resilient. You can bounce them off the floor. They'll just bounce right back. Not literally. I'm speaking in an allegory, okay? You know, kids get hurt by their parents. And you know what's amazing? They'll jump in those parents' arm and say, I love you, and give that parent a big hug. They'll get hurt by their best friend. And you know what? I don't know about you. I had a best friend across the street from me. We ended up adopting him. He's now my brother. Lives out in California. We fought every single day. Someone got a bloody nose. He never got a bloody nose. Somebody got a bloody nose. And every day, he was my best friend by the end of the day. And we'd be playing Hot Wheels or Army Men or Big Time Wrestling. We were always best friends. We are still, to this day, best friends. You know why? Because kids can fight and punch each other and do that, and they could be best friends the next day. Wouldn't that be a great trait? I wonder if Jesus meant that when he said, unless you become like little children, you will never see heaven. I wonder if God wants us to forgive one another the same way. You know how adults hold grudges? I wonder where kids start. Is it in junior high they start holding grudges? Is it in junior high where kids get so hurt that somewhere they put their foot down and they say, that's it. I'll never forgive you ever again. Is it through a divorce? Is it through a pain? You know what's amazing? Kids do forgive. Even through a divorce. Even through the death of a parent or a loved one, kids still forgive God. I have people say, I'm going to blame God. They'll work through that and they'll say, you know what? This is a part of life. It wasn't God's fault. And they'll walk through those things. Kids are amazing to forgive each other. They have an unconditional love that says, no matter what's happened to me, you ever watch a little kid who's been spanked? If a child's been disciplined, can I say spanking? Is that all right? Okay, if you don't spank your kids, whatever, that's fine. Time out, whatever. You know, it's amazing that kid will come back and say, I just want to say I'm sorry for what I did. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. And they'll give you a hug. And they'll find forgiveness. You know what? There are times in my life where I feel like I've been beat up by people that I know. And you know what's really great? Is to be able to go put your arms around those people and give them a big hug and say, you know what? I just want you to know, I love you. I know some of you have been beat up in this world. Come on. I've been beat up in this world. I've been beat up in this town. I've been beat up in church. I know some of you have been beat up in churches. I've been beat up in church. I've had things said about me. You know what I did? I just got me some spray paint and I went out and I spray painted that church. No, I would never do that. I just went and flattened those tires. That's what I did. No, that's not what I did. I grabbed an olive branch and I went to the church and said, I just want you to know I love you. And no matter what's happened, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I've been hurt by people. I've hurt people. I've had to go say I'm sorry and ask for their forgiveness. And I desire so much for those people to say, you know what, Pastor, you really hurt me. But I love you and I forgive you. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful things. I watch children. You study a kid today. When you leave this place, go be a child. I watch kids and they don't care. You know what kids do? They go up and they start talking to strangers in the park. I went to a place to watch some stuff. I went to watch some fireworks, took my kids, and my daughter wandered off. I owe you a dollar. My daughter wandered off. She went over, she sat down, and there was a lady sitting in front of us, a grandmother sitting all by herself. And my daughter sat down next to her and talked to her for the entire hour sitting there. And afterwards, I went over and said, I'm so sorry that my daughter distracted you and talked to you. She goes, oh, no. Thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation. You have a wonderful daughter. It was nice sitting and visiting with her tonight. We walked down to a Tigers game, and I drove and parked by the streets. And as we came out of the Tigers game, the sun had set. It was dark out in downtown Detroit. And there was a man who smelled like urine who was sleeping in an alley underneath a little awning porchway in a broken-down abandoned building. He was homeless. And he had nothing. And my little girl said, Daddy, can we go over and talk to him? And I said, come on, honey, we're going to the car. And you know, kids, they don't look at all the stuff that adults do. They have such an unconditional love that, and it's dangerous. And as adults, we know better. Maybe we could learn a little bit, though, can't we? Doesn't matter if you live in a homeless place and you smell like urine, if you're a grandmother that's sitting by herself, or just somebody walking in the mall. My kids have all done this, and it's kind of scary. They'll just talk to anybody. And they also give hugs to people that sometimes they don't even know. They just run up and give hugs. And I'm thinking, careful. Careful, don't do this when I'm not around. I want to protect you. Why are you hugging that person? I don't know, maybe they look like they needed a hug. When you leave today, can I challenge you just to be a little more childlike, a little more loving, a little more forgiving, a lot more innocent, and a whole lot more simple in your faith. In fact, here's my challenge, my benediction. If you have kids here today, I'm going to ask today, just switch roles with them. Let them be the adults today and make the decisions, and you be the irresponsible little kid and go climb a tree. All right? By the way, I owe you a dollar, but as a kid, I don't have any money. I owe you two. Well, you'll have to get that from your mother. I'm a child. Here it is. Switch roles for a day and say to yourself, I don't want to grow up. I'm a God's kid today. It's not being irresponsible. It's being childlike. So I challenge you today, be a child. Because Jesus said, unless you are like little children, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Kids teach us, don't they? Today, hopefully, Jesus has taught us something. Kids, love your moms and dads. Don't humor your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. But mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, take a hold of those children, those grandchildren, and learn a little something with them today. Go out and maybe switch roles. Maybe go skip in the parking lot today. You'll get a smile. Or some of you, get your video cameras and your phones rolling. Let's stand and pray together.